Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, friends. Welcome to the Devotional Chef Show. My name is Ron Graham. I am the producer and host of the show. Reverend Robert Lacey, the Devotional Chef, will be with us in a moment. On today's show, he will be discussing peach cobbler. And I have to tell you, as soon as the very idea of it came up, I became very hungry. But while we're waiting to begin our conversation with Reverend Lacey, I just want to remind you that, first of all, after the show, we'll be putting up a summary of the show on our blog at thedevotionalchef.com, and we will actually give you a peach cobbler recipe. Wouldn't you say we could do that, Reverend Lacey? Give them a cobbler recipe?
I think so. Once they learn the basics, the secret is in the base, like a soup base. And I'd like to greet everyone here today on Blog Talk Radio on the Devotional Chef Show with our great friend and producer, Ron Graham. I'm the Devotional Chef, Reverend Lacey. And I always say to you, bless it up today here. We're going to give you not only a recipe, but once you learn the base again, you can make a variations from the base. And it's very a simplistic thing. And this is a funny thing, Ron. I was never taught how to do it. I just kind of knew that it could be done, and then from then on, I've been doing it.
Well, Reverend Lacey, I'm looking forward to this. I have been looking forward to it ever since our last program, and I'm very glad to hear from you again. I hope you're having a good day.
I'm having a great day. God is good, brother.
I would say that's a fair assessment. Reverend Lacey, why peach cobbler?
Well, you know, it's actually a Southern tradition, and it's been around as long as I can remember, even in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, there's a thin line to the Mason-Dixon line in Pennsylvania, as you know, and Gettysburg. A lot of the Civil War battles were fought there, so the South and the North have been merging together different cuisines for hundreds of years. But a greater thing is that it's a simplistic dish to make.
Now, when you say simplistic, do you mean that just for you or for anybody?
Anyone can make a peach cobbler. You don't have to go to culinary school. You know, here's what a cobbler is. It's an expanded pie, but it has more of the juices in it than the normal pie that you would have, because and it's usually served deep dish, which makes it even more special. And you know, you can do it with dough, biscuits, crumbles, all kinds of variations on this thing. As a matter of fact, I hope that you'll ask me later on about the history of this. I've done a little research.
Well, why don't you go ahead and get into that right now? I mean, people are going to be hungry anyway, so let's go ahead and give them some more to be hungry about. Tell us all about cobbler.
Well, cobblers are called cobblers, crisp, crumble, brown Betty. I've heard of apple brown Betty, buckle, grunts, slumps, bird nest pudding, and snonker, and pan dowdy. Now, basically, yes, there's a lot of history of this. Cobblers have been and still are called by various names, as we mentioned. They are all simple variations of cobblers, and they're all based on seasonal fruits and berries. In other words, whatever fresh ingredients are available readily at hand. Now, in our modern age, you know, you don't have to have fresh ingredients. You can use canned fruit. I've done that. You can use fresh fruit. I've done that. You can use frozen fruit. I've done that. I've actually blended the three together, and I found my cooking time was less because I like to cook smarter, not harder. And so
like
they're
the
all
sound,
home and rely more on taste than fancy pastry preparation. You don't have to be a pastry chef to make this. You just have to want to feed your family a good, tasty, flavorful dish with fresh, frozen, or canned fruits with a good base, you know, good simple syrup, if you will. And then you want to have lots of butter, lots of butter, lots of spices. It's going to be a wonderful thing to have. Now let me just tell you a little bit more about the history. It came actually from England. The English came here to the colonies, and they had a thing called steam puddings. But they couldn't find their favorite ingredient, so whatever was available, that's how they made the traditional American dishes came with such unusual names. Early colonists were so fond of these juicy dishes that they often served them as a main course for breakfast, even as a first course. It was not until the late 19th century that they became primarily desserts. So everything I have read, cobblers, and I'm reading this to the audience because I want them to know that this is the fact, is a variation, as I said earlier, of a pie. And the pie was developed from the Roman idea, 2nd century B.C. They used to tuck meat inside of a flour oil paste as it cooked. So basically, we've gone from savory to sweet. And again, cobblers are peaches, apples, and berries, crisp and crumbles, or baked with the fruit mixture on the bottom and with crumb toppling on top. Brown or brown Betty. A Betty consists of fruit, mostly commonly apples, baked between layers of bread butter crumbs. And it goes on, and it has these other names, grunts or slumps. Early attempts to adapt the English steam pudding to the primitive cooking equipment available to the colonists in New England resulted in the grunt and the slump. That's what they called up in New England, grunts and slumps. Outstanding. And we talked about a buckle or a crumble, a pan dowdy is a deep dish dessert that can be made with a variety of fruit. But it's mostly commonly made with apple, sweet with molasses or brown sugar. So there you have the different variations. Like I said, it's a simplistic dish. Once you get the base down pat, you know that the base is your simple syrup with spices and butter and those type of things that makes the simple syrup, which turns into the juice because the apples or the berries absorb that juice and turns it into like a blueberry pie. You've seen one of those, right? You ever wonder how the it becomes blue? Well, the blueberries turn that color, and that's just a simple syrup with a little thickening in it. We call it a slurry in the culinary world.
Mm-hmm.
There you
go. Wow. I got to tell you, you're starting to get my mouth to water already. But you talk about the necessity for getting the base down. So let's get into the base. Let's get the details.
The base of a pie or a cobbler is creating the juice. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to just go ahead and give you the recipe, if you don't mind, from my perspective.
No, please, go ahead.
The steps that I take, to make a peach cobbler. And like I said, it's a very popular thing around my house. When I make one, it's like E.F. Hutton. People come to the table, okay? And so, yes, when I make it, I love to start off with nice, and it depends on how much you want to make. You can get a quart pot if you like, because I like to have extra juice,
Yeah.
And what I like to do is, first of all, make a simple syrup. That's only sugar and water. Then I'm adding the cinnamon, white and brown sugar, lots of butter, and a pinch of nutmeg, a little salt, and that's your base. And what you want to do as you're stirring that up, whisking that up, it'll start reducing. You can add the spice and the flavor of the sugar as you want to adjust it. Like I like to use brown sugar and white sugar and butter and nutmeg and cinnamon, which makes it delicious. Now, some people don't like cinnamon, but, you have to – pick what you like. I wouldn't use allspice or a pumpkin spice. That would just take that to another level of being an alien pie. If you're thinking about those things, I don't think it would be consistent with the American tradition. So those basic spices, nutmeg and cinnamon, is perfect. And don't forget, you got to have some vanilla, just a hint of that in the pie, because that can be overpowering if you use too much. Once you master the base, which is a simple syrup, okay, you put that aside. I like to have fresh peaches, and I peel those, take the stone out, and I put them in quarters. I incorporate those in the simple syrup, because now you want to draw the flavor out, okay, of the fruit. I also use canned peaches, because canned peaches own syrup in it. That does not hurt your dish at all. Actually, it helps it a lot. I use fresh fruit, canned fruit, and sometimes I'll go and get frozen peaches. Incorporate it in your syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to get some flour and water. This is going to make a lot of sense to people. Okay, if you use flour and water, never put the water in your mixing bowl first, or your mixing cup or your measuring cup, and then put the flour on top. It won't work. It'll float and turn into lumps. You take the flour, mm-hmm. which as much as you think you need, maybe like make about a quarter of a half a cup of it. Okay, no mm-hmm. seasonings, just plain flour. All right, and then you put that in the cup first, and you slowly incorporate the water, and you start whipping it or mixing it until it's nice and smooth and kind of creamy looking, but not thick, okay? Because a slurry mm-hmm. is something that they pour in soups and gravies to make it a thickening, and it actually goes on, and you'll see, and you pour it in there, and you have to continually stir it because it will lump up on you. Flour, as you know, is gluten, and it'll cook, okay? So I make mm-hmm. my slurry, and I have my base on low heat. It's not boiling any longer. You know, I reduce it down, and I'll watch it because I want to make sure I have enough to make the cobbler. And so from that point on, I'll start incorporating a slurry, making it a little bit thick, but not to the point where it's like, you know, remember that paste we used to use that we were in school? You don't want
the kids would eat it. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, I probably had a couple of nibs myself. I'm sure I did.
Mm-hmm.
So after you incorporate your flour and your water for thickening, you have your fruits already prepped already, and now you want to take. I love the aluminum foil turkey roasters. You know.
Yeah.
Because it's a throwaway kind of item. And it's less cleanup. You're going to have to get something with a deep dish. So I figure you can go to a dollar store and buy a couple of those. I double them up because of the fact that I don't want them, you know, to burst open. What I do is called blind baking. There's two ways to do a cobbler. You can go and put the raw dough in there, and you can put all your base of your fruit and your syrup on top of it. Some people like their cobbler doughy. My wife likes her cobbler doughy. But I fixed that. I just don't like the taste of raw dough. So what I've learned from watching great chefs like I got this from Aaron Lagasse, to be honest with you, how to blind bake. Blind baking is just putting the dough, and I want you to go and buy pie dough. That's right. Go buy the frozen pie dough, ladies and gentlemen. Work smarter, not harder. Okay, get about four or six of those and cover that deep dish all the way around, and when you get that in there, you want to sprinkle some sugar and some cinnamon all the way around, and this is going to blow your mind. Throw some uncooked beans on top of it. Okay, you're going to have the oven on 350, and you must watch this, or 375. Put that in the oven with no ingredients. That's what they call blind baking. What will happen is that base will crisp up, okay? You pull
that
out.
What kind of beans are you talking about, Chef?
Use white navy beans. I don't know about the red kidney beans. You might have a stain there or two. But go with the white beans. You're probably better off with that. And you're just going to take
them in advance?
No soaking and nothing at all. You take them right out the bag hard. I think the beans help help the beans help cook the dough and shore it up some. And we'll have to look into that a little bit more. But that's the way Chef Lagasse did it, and I think it worked for him. He says, "Hey, we're going to blind bake it, and we're going to throw in some beans. It's probably a heat thing going on there, you know." And so you pull that out of your oven and you get rid of the beans immediately. You got a nice, sweet, brown-looking dough. Beautiful. Okay, now the next thing you want to do, my brother, okay, I like butter a lot. Oh, incidentally, I forgot one step. Please butter your pan first, then put the dough in, and then the blind bake it, because you want to be able to have the dough separate from the pan, obviously. So, like I said, this is simplistic stuff. And then once you do that, you put your ingredients inside that deep dish pan. You must have a cookie sheet to put in the oven, because, brother, sometimes you'll get an overflow. That helps resist your cleaning the oven from sticky stuff, you know? And then I like to use what I call a dough lattice. I take the remaining dough and I'll cut it with a knife or a pastry knife on my cutting board, a little flour. I'll just make a lattice, you know, strips of it across. Or I'll sometimes just go ahead and take three or four pre-made pie shells and put it on top, poke holes in it. Now, that's not blind bake. That's the raw dough. I'll take sugar and cinnamon and a little butter, and I put that back in the oven. Brother, when that is all brown, you bring that out, they're going to start coming to the table quickly, okay? And that's how you make that's how you make a cobbler, basically. And you know what? You can use biscuits. I mean, you can actually go and say, you know what? I don't want to do what the chef says. I'm going to go and use, you know, Poppin' Dough biscuits or the Graham biscuits. That's fine. Because if you think about it, at that time, they didn't have any, prepared pastry. They made it from scratch. Most of the stuff was biscuits. Have you ever seen the old-fashioned shortbread, strawberry shortcake?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it was made out of biscuits. There you go.
Oh,
biscuits.
Yeah, you're right.
Fantastic, isn't it? We sometimes complicate our cooking, but we don't have to. And so here's something else that I've done. This is in my cookbook. It's a peach, pear, apple, and berry mixture of a cobbler. I tell you something. You're talking about yummy. You can use – my wife likes blackberries. She likes raspberries. She likes strawberries. You can take the whole berry family, brother, and make a berry cobbler extraordinaire.
You know,
and
Reverend Lacey, I was actually going
to say to you, always
taste
your syrup, because if it's not sweet enough, you know, before you put it in there, it's going to be kind of difficult to make that happen, because all that stuff should be melted together with your butter and your cinnamon and all that. If you like it, serve it. There you go. That's the cobbler.
I was actually going to ask you about multiple fruits in a cobbler, because, you know, they make these bags of frozen fruit that include all these different varieties, and so many of them, you know, would make good cobblers on their own, but now you put them all together and you got a taste explosion, right?
Yes, you do. And I like mixed berries. I think it's a delicious thing. You notice that they're blending more mixed berries together for fruit drinks. Not necessarily alcoholic, you know, but just the fact that it's just a nice combination. One of my favorite cobblers, I love deep dish blueberry pie. I love blueberries. Blueberries are just yummy, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yes, you can go ahead and you know, starting with the peach, you can go ahead and make apple cobbler. Again, the simplicity of it is the base. You don't change the base recipe, you just change the fruits.
Oh, man, now I am so hungry. All right, do you ever have any leftovers after you serve this stuff up, Chef?
I do, because I make a real deep dish. You ever seen those mini turkey roasters that you put like a a 5 or 7 pound burden, you know, and you get the aluminum foil roasters.
Yeah, I typically use those for a chicken.
Yeah, well, we got some big enough to fit a turkey in too. Picture that,
mm-hmm.
and you know, picture having that full of dough and fruits and. Oh, I tell you, and you know the beautiful thing about it, when you make a cobbler, you don't slice it; you use a spoon. You put it in bowls, and
mm-hmm.
Some people like different toppings on it. So you know,
yeah, the first thing that jumps out at me is vanilla ice cream. You can't go wrong there.
Can't go wrong with some good old fashioned vanilla ice cream. I mean. You know, I was a Breyers man. I still like Breyers, but having moved down here, there's a thing called Bluebell, and it's pretty good. When I was in Jersey, it was Turkey Hill, but I tell you, those Texians know how to make some ice cream. Okay,
Chef, what do you think of vanilla? What do you think of vanilla bean ice cream?
I love that. It would go well with the consistency of the pie or the deep dish. Cobbler, if you will, my friend, it would go well with that. I think that you could also have in your bowl, I would put out some ice cream. I would put out some heavy cream, but it would be in liquid form. I would not put it in a whippet. I would put out some whipped cream and some evaporated canned milk because, you know, it's peaches and cream. It's a no-brainer, brother, you know.
It totally is.
It's a no-brainer.
That's
and nothing
stuff, Chef.
And when it's hot, mamma mia, I'm talking like an Italian. I just, you know what, Mother's Day is coming up. I would recommend to the audience – take a stab at it. You can get the recipe that I gave you, my version, my recipe. You're going to not find any different on the internet. There may some be variations here and there, but you can look it up and try your hand at it. Just control the heat. You want to control the heat and never serve raw dough. It just doesn't taste well.
That's right. The diners will not go for that if they run into that.
No,
now, Chef,
what will
know,
happen
in,
is the crispy blind baked bottom will become a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have maybe a little crunch, but you'll still have that dough that people like. And like I said, my wife likes dough. She'll say, I like the dough. You can get all the dough. Because you're going to build that up on the sides, the bottom, you know, that little roaster. You could actually take a chicken roaster. It wouldn't be cast iron, but it would be a consistency of a steel. And I can't think of the name of the product, but ceramic, yes. And that kind
mm-hmm.
of combination, they've been around for years. They're like blue. I think everybody's mother had one of those chicken roasters. You can actually make the cobbler in one of those, as long as it's as a deep dish. Doesn't have to be aluminum. It can be anything. I don't know about cooking it in a pot. I haven't done that yet. I haven't got that bowl. But anything that you can make a deep dish dessert would be a winner for Mother's Day. You know, surprise your mother. Go ahead, those of you... you know, or whose parents are not eating dinner in heaven with Jesus, hey, man, surprise your mom and, you know, have someone make it. Most grandmothers and people, of later age are proficient in these kind of dishes. Church women are notorious cooks. I love church women. I gained a lot of weight from eating church women's food, okay?
I've had a lot of good meals at churches myself, Reverend Lacey, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Chef, we're down to about the last 5 minutes of the episode, so we're going to do some housekeeping here, if you don't mind. By the way, that was an excellent recipe that you went through, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate it. Let's remind the listeners that we will put a recipe up on the blog along with the description of this program. Every program we do on Blog Talk Radio, we follow it up with a blog post that describes the episode in some detail. Where we can, we provide a photo. I don't suppose you have a photo of a peach cobbler that you made around someplace, do you, Chef?
No, I don't. I've probably eaten the photo, too.
Well, that's exactly what I would do if I were in that position. But, yeah, that's what we typically do is we get it up on the Internet so everybody can take advantage of it. Now, we will have another program next week, and earlier today you and I were talking about a number of different possibilities for our next episode. Have we settled on one yet?
Well, you know, we're exploring the world of bread, the world of soup. You know, there are meats. It's just so many things. We haven't really settled on anything, but we have discussed the first two. And you know, I kind of was thinking earlier while we were talking about the base. If I can teach the audience how to make a soup base, they can turn that into almost anything they want to turn it into.
I was thinking that too, Chef. Let's go ahead and talk about soup bases that are on our next program. That sounds good
okay.
to me, and I'm sure the audience will like it too. Now let's go ahead and have a prayer with our audience just in case they you know, need to get themselves a blessing.
Well, I was thinking about Psalm 27, and what I like is that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Audience, we have a lot of scary things going on around here in our world, wars and rumors of war, a lot of saber rattling. We have people killing children in schools, never heard in our time, just all kinds of disasters, and it makes people kind of nervous. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. If you know Jesus Christ, I'm not saying you're going to be disaster-free, but you know who to take the problem to. I don't walk in fear. I walk in the confidence that the Lord is with me. Like he said, amen, he will never leave you or forsake you. So I'm asking that if you want to experience the peace that I experience, in spite of all the things that are going around me, and not having to worry about whether our plane's going to fall out of the sky and hit me, come into the family of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you confess with your heart the Lord Jesus, right? Confess with your mouth, rather, the
That's
Lord
right.
Jesus, believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. All God is asking is believe that I sent my son to save you from sins, and that's all you got to do. I'll do the rest. I'll grow you up in the spirit. I'll teach you the ways of the walk in righteousness and holiness. It's a practice, but it's one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life. And guess what? As a universal family, you can meet Christians all over the world, and they'll welcome you. So if you said that prayer, Lord Jesus, accept me into your family. I give myself to you. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Reverend Lacey. Always a pleasure to have these programs with you. I'm going to go ahead and remind the audience they can find out more about the Devotional Chef at our website, which is thedevotionalchef.com. We are on Facebook as The Devotional Chef. We are on Twitter as Devotional Chef, and everything that we do, we spread it along the social media so that you can find us by whichever means seems to be the most convenient for you. What else would you like to tell the audience in our last minute?
Well, I just want to tell them that I love you, and Dr. Ron Graham loves you, and, you know, you have the best of your life ahead of you. We've all made mistakes and fail, but please don't quit and don't give up. Don't give up on your family members too easily. A lot of them are not where you want them to be, but then again, none of us are. So walk in love and peace and learn to use your gifts to help change the world.
That's a good word, Reverend Lacey. All right, looks like we're actually going to finish the program on time today. We're very glad to have you with us, listeners. And as you know, we have been talking about peach cobbler today. You know how to find us on social media. If you've got a special dish that you would like to hear the chef talk about, reach out to us on social media. And I tell you what, we will follow up. Isn't that true, Chef?
Oh, by all means, you can get me on the emails, Twitter, devotionalchef@gmail.com. There are opportunities to hopefully in the future to get copies of the cookbook. And there are many cookbooks. Tell them a little bit about that, would you?
Check the website, thedevotionalchef.com. We've got many cookbooks, and there will be more. Thanks for joining us, listeners, and you have a great day.